We're in lesson 8 of our Genesis study here. We are picking up in chapter 4, verse 18, where some genealogy things begin. Now listen, folks, if you remember back when we did the study, the 13-week study where we called it Beginning Your Life as a New Disciple, Beginning Your Life in Christ, Starting Points, or whatever you want to call it, which we called it different things at that time. Every day I had you reading four chapters. Some of you noticed it and some of you didn't. I imagine the ones of you who didn't notice it were not reading, but the ones of you who did notice it were reading. I skipped chapter 5 in the book of Genesis, and I also skipped chapter 10 in the book of Genesis in your reading because these are genealogies. And I know the very first time that I decided I was going to read through the Bible, I was so excited all the way through to about Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. And then all of a sudden, we hit this so-and-so was the father of so-and-so, who was the father of so-and-so, who was the father and so-and-so. And I went from, yay, boy, this is good stuff, to blah, 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 blah. Now, I was going to write that in the lesson today, but I didn't know how to spell blah, 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 okay? So if any of y'all know how to spell blah, 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 because that's the way I felt. But now, as a person who studies the Word of God, I understand why God changed the flow to give this very important information. Because God, up to this point, has told us about the creation process, Cain and Abel. I've got a little chart up here, so I'm going to move over to it on the board, where they were around the tree of life in the garden, and they were able to eat of the tree of life, and they were able to eat of every tree in the garden except for the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then then Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and there was a penalty for what they did. And the penalty was they could no longer be in the presence of the tree of life. So the Lord moved them out from that tree to the east, put cherubim there, that's a multitude of cherubs, angels, to guard the tree, and also a flaming sword that circled in every direction to guard them from the tree. And so Adam and Eve have moved east of that wonderful place where that tree of life is, which we can't get to it now either. It's guarded. And they began to have a family of Abel and Cain and at least one daughter. They may have had more, but at least one at this point in time. And so all along in this process, God is doing something that we forget that He does. We forget that God is interacting with us at every movement we make. In fact, there are some of us at one point in time, I actually believe that God created everything and then He just is looking down to see what happens. But when you look at the stories in chapter 1 through chapter 4, verse 17, you see the Lord is ever present with those people, and He's teaching them. He is saying things to them. After Cain and Abel are born, and they grow up, they present their offering, the Lord is right there with Cain. After the offering is presented, and He speaks with Cain. He gives him instruction. Cain doesn't take the instruction, but He gives him instruction. Cain goes on to kill Abel. Where's the Lord when that happens? The Lord comes right back into the picture and talks with Cain. Back up to Adam and Eve. The Lord is talking with Adam and with Eve while they're in the garden and interacting with them. The serpent comes and deceives Eve. She gives the fruit to Adam. They eat. He's disobedient to the Lord. And immediately what happens? Here comes the Lord. And He questions them and He asks them questions. And of course, we've seen the Lord is there. He is interacting with them. Even before they sin and after they sin. And by the way, when we look at that, nothing's changed today. because the Lord is still interacting with us too, every one of us individually. And so the penalty for Cain killing his brother is he has to move on further east from Adam and Eve, and he has a wife that he takes with him. Who is the wife? The wife is a sister, the daughter of Adam and Eve. And so they will move on out. And so we have two communities of people that have developed by the time we arrive at chapter 4, verse 18. We have an area where Adam and Eve are going to live, and they have more sons and more daughters in this area. Further east of them, we have the area where Cain and his wife are going to live, and they're going to have children also. And that the two groups are going to grow and increase and have kids and grandkids and great-grandkids and lots of them, lots of them. And in fact, we're going to see here in the very first passage when we pick up, I've got it here on your notes, but I've also got it here on the board. The Lord is going to, as we pick up, going to tell us about this line of Cain. Why? Because we've had the death of Abel. We've had Cain move out to establish a family. And the Lord wants to tell us quickly about the line of Cain, the descendants of Cain, all the way to the flood. Boom, there's the flood. Okay? And then he's going to turn around and immediately tell us about the line of Adam through Seth, because Seth is going to be born to, as Eve thinks, to replace Abel, who was killed. And we're going to see this line, and it's going to go all the way to the flood also. The biggest disadvantage I have in here is that the board is not double the size, because I would have loved to put this line underneath this line where the flood lines up, okay? Because we know where to start Cain. We start Cain before the birth of Seth right here, and I'd love to see the two things spread out. There are less generations here than there are here, but it's covering the same amount of time. You follow me? And when we get through with this, we end up with Noah and his three sons, because we're going to head towards the flood. You follow me? So what the Lord has chosen to do here in chapter 4, verse 18, really verse 17, through all of chapter 5, is tell us who was the son of who and how long they all lived, etc. And it can be very boring. I could not spell the word blah, 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 blah. So I used it like this. I said it like this. These genealogies come as a jolt to the flow, but they're very important. Why are they important? They're important because of this. God established time. I was told as a kid that time was an invention of man. But remember, we read the scripture. As the world was being created on the very first day, second day, third day, fourth day, the sun is put there to tell us the seasons and the years. Now, the stars are there to help us, signs to guide us. The moon is there to tell us, have light by the night, and also to tell us the months. They're for time markers. So time is an element of the Lord's making. And in these genealogies that are here, the Lord is telling us when creation occurred. Now, let me just sum it up to you, and we'll see it as we go on, because here in chapter 5, through chapter 5, we're going to go from Adam to Noah and his three boys. But in chapter 10, we're going to go from Noah to Abraham. You follow me? And then we go on down a little ways, and we get through Isaac, and we get through Jacob, and we get through Jacob's 12 sons. And lo and behold, by the time we get through the end of the book, we're all the way down to Joseph and his father Jacob and his 11 brothers are all living in Egypt. Then we just have to go a little ways further whenever they leave Egypt. And that we have a definite scripture that tells us how many years they were in Egypt. from the day, and it actually says this, from the very day that Joseph was sold into captivity in Egypt until Moses led them out of the gate into the wilderness was 430 years to the day, the scripture tells us. Then we go on a little further over into the Kings when Solomon has completed building the temple, and the scripture tells us that to the very day that they left Egypt until they dedicated the temple was 480 years to the day. Then we know when Solomon dies. Then we know when Rehoboam takes over. And then through the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, we have how long they lived, how many years, and who took their place, all the way down until we have the fall of the southern kingdom. We've got all that record of the kings. And by this time, we've got Nebuchadnezzar, and we got his calendar going on. But let's don't even worry about that, because when Ezra comes back from after Nebuchadnezzar, after Cyrus the Great, after Darius the Third, the whole thing after the fall of the Persian Empire, when Ezra comes back, when Cyrus the Great takes over, he fills in the gap for us in his writings. And then we get down to Matthew and to Luke, and they tell us the rest of the storyline. The reason why God has done this is he is telling us how long the earth has been here. He is telling us when creation occurred. And all you got to do is just read it and chart it out. Now, my purpose today, because genealogy stuff can be the most boring thing in the world, my purpose today is in the next 20 or 30 minutes to us get through this and make this crooked road for most of us as straight as possible. So, Cain and his wife have just been exited from the area where Adam and Eve are living, and they are east of that area. And Cain has a son, and the son's name is Enoch, and we saw that last week, and we're picking up right there on the line of Cain, because the Lord wants us to know about this ungodly line, because there's some pretty important stuff towards the end of this line, some pretty important people. It says, Now to Enoch was born Irad, and Irad became the father of Mahalaleel, and Mahalaleel became the father of Methushael, and Methushael became the father of Lamech, and Lamech took to himself two wives. The name of one was Abdah, the name of the other was Zillah. And Abdah gave birth to Jabal, and he was the father of those who dwell in tents and have livestock. And his brother's name was Jubal, and he was the father of all those who play the lyre and the harp. And as for Zillah, she also gave birth to Tubal-Cain, the forger of all the implements of bronze and iron, and the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. Okay, let's just grab. There's some important stuff right there, and let's get through it. And here we go. Just told us, Cain had a son, Enoch, Irad, Methushael, and Lamech, okay? And Lamech had two wives, and one of the wives gave birth to Jabal and the other to Jubal. Now, Jabal, according to that passage right there, is the inventor of tents. You catch it? He's the one that invented the tents for them to live in. And he is also the one who began the concept and the practice of herding the livestock, the shepherding. Now listen, sheep move as sheep, as sheep as sheep. They're going to move in groups together. Cows are going to move in groups together. Goats are going to move in groups together. But here we have Jabal who captures the concept of these sheep belong to me and I'm going to herd them around. You following that? Which is new for the right here. Jubal is going to be the one who figures out how to take something, whatever it is, and put some sort of strings on it and make music, and how to take pipes. This is actually not a pipe, but think of it as a pipe with a hole and whatever so they could blow on it and play music. Pipes and lyres. Lyres are like harps. So he's the father of music. And then Tubal-Cain, by the other wife, Zillah, he invents, becomes the father of all bronze and iron instruments. This is very important because Noah is going to build an ark. What is Noah going to use to get the trees down to build an ark if it hadn't been for cousins over here who invented it? Do you follow me? So when several years ago we had some discoveries of some tools, bronze and iron, that they say, this proves that the flood did not exist because these items predate the flood. Well, I don't have a problem with that. Why? Because they're older than the flood. So you see what I'm saying? The Lord is so good. He's answered these questions for us. Now, the thing I'm a little perturbed with the Lord. Do y'all ever get perturbed with the Lord? Okay, I hope all of you do. It's okay to get perturbed with the Lord. He's going to tell us the age of all of these folks, but he doesn't tell us the age of these, and I wish I knew. I don't need to know. There's not a reason for me to know. All I know is that they're all going to die in the flood. They're going to die at different ages, and they're going to die at the flood when the flood occurs. This line is going away. But here's an important thing. Tubal-Cain, Jubal, Jabal, Lamech, and probably a couple of these are very important men in that village. Very important. They are leaders. They are renowned, folks. They are sought after. They are, now let's think about it today. We have guys like John McCain, Barack Obama, George Bush, Jeb Bush, Mike Huckabee, Donald Trump, Mitt Romney. These are people who are men of renown. Whether they are godly or not makes no difference whatsoever. They are men of renown. People know who they are. They are giants in our political world. You understand what I'm saying? They are huge, okay? They are looked upon. They are important. Now, that's going to become important in next week's lesson. Next week's lesson, when we hit Genesis chapter 6, what I've just told you about these men right here and some of their descendants. And remember, Cain's got a whole bunch more kids than just Enoch. This is just one line. He just tells us about the line that leads to those boys who are going to be very instrumental in how the families organize an industry of tents and livestock and music and tools. Cain had more kids. Enoch had more kids. Irad had more kids. All those guys had more kids all the way up to Lamech. You follow me? More sons and more daughters who are intermarrying. In fact, we're going to have a problem later on because some of the line over here are going to have sons who are going to, that are not on this list because they're not in this godly line. But we're going to see as we go through, every one of these guys had other sons and other daughters, and their sons are going to see the daughters over here of this line, and they're going to marry in them. And what's going to happen is the two communities are going to be coming married into each other, and there is an ungodliness that spreads as it happens. That's in next week's lesson. So let's pick up here and let's go on. We asked the question, who was Enoch's wife? Well, Enoch's wife was the same as probably Cain's wife. It's probably a sister. But when you pick up the next generation of Irad, who was Irad's wife? Well, she could have been a sister, or she could have been an aunt that was a daughter of Cain about his age. Or she could have been a cousin of one of the other brothers. You never know. So as the line goes up, they're not only marrying sisters, they're marrying cousins also. There's all this intermarrying that's going on. And by the way, remember, we think about that as being incest, but that moratorium against marrying your sister or your cousin or whatever does not come into effect until the Jews come out of Egypt and Moses is able to give that instruction from the Lord in the wilderness a long ways down in history. Because remember, we're going to go down to the flood and we're going to go back down to basically four families, Noah and his wife, three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, and their their wives. That's going to give us four families. Noah's not going to have any more children. So it's three families are going to have children, and life starts over just like it did with Adam. And so they're marrying cousin girls. The guys are marrying girls, the cousins, and all the kind of stuff. All right, so let's look now on page 54 of your notes. Verse 23 says, "And Lamech said to his wives." Now, Lamech is the Lamech right over here. We've got a Lamech over here. Remember, people are people are people. Now, I want you to understand this. It's a very important principle that we see. Humans have always thought the same. We've not changed. When there's a popular name being spread around among the kiddos, guess what? Everybody else who's having a kid is going to name it probably that name. My daughter was named Madison, and next thing you know, everybody we turn around is for the next 2 or 3 or 4 years is naming their name Madison. Like, we've got the McKenzies, we've got the McKinleys. We'd think McKinley would be a man's name, whatever, you know, but the girls are getting them. What was popular, always been popular, my name is Jim or James, have been popular. They go and they flow. Nothing's changed here. We got a Lamech at the end of the line of Cain. We've got a Lamech over here at the end of the line of Seth. Names, we've got an Enoch over here. We've got an Enoch over here. Okay. By the way, the word Enoch means dedicated. And if you remember from last week's lesson, when Cain had Enoch, they were living. There's a cave, there's a river, there's whatever, everything's there. And they dedicate that town by naming it after the son that they have had by the name of Enoch. We go all the way through. We've got Enoch over here too. And when Enoch on this line, something special is going to happen with this Enoch. We'll get to that when we get there. Okay. So Lamech on this side in Cain's line, who's an evil man, he's actually a murderer himself, said to his wives, Abda and Zillah, "Listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech. Give heed to my speech. For I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me." He's killed a man and a boy. Now, his great-great-great-great-great-grandfather back only killed his brother. We don't know about the rest of them. But Lamech is concerned about something here. He says, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 70-fold. Well, where'd he get that? Remember last week's lesson? Cain killed his brother. Now, the Lord came to Cain and said, "Cain, what's going on with you? You got anger. You need to master this before it masters you. You need to take care of what's going on. You need to get that anger off your face, and you need to not act on that anger. If you do well, good things will come to you. If you do evil, bad things will come to you." The Lord walks away, and Cain goes to his brother and says, "Let's go out in the field." They go out in the field, and he kills Abel. What happens to the Lord? The Lord comes right back in the picture. "Cain, where's your brother?" Cain tells two lies, remember, after that. He's not only guilty of killing his brother, he's now guilty of lying with two phrases to the Lord. "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" Two lies. Two lies. "I don't know." He knew exactly where he was. There's a penalty for that. But I want you to understand this. There is a penalty for everything we do that is wrong. That doesn't mean that God does not love us and will not care for us. What did he do with Cain? Cain said, Oh Lord, someone along the line is going to come along and they're going to find me and they're going to kill me. And the Lord says, no, they're not. And if they try to, the penalty on them will be 7 times what your penalty is that I'm about to give to you. You're going to have to be a fugitive from your family, Adam and Eve. You're going to have to go and live, and you're going to have to plant crops on ground that's not going to be plentiful to you in the crops that are going to grow for you, and you're going to have to really, really work harder than Adam had to work. But if someone tries to kill you or kills you, then their penalty will be 7 times as hard as yours. But that's not going to happen because I'm going to put a sign on you that everyone will know that they are not to kill you. So Cain is going to die either in the flood, if he lives that long, or by natural death. It's just what the Lord has done. Lamech comes along here and he knows he's now killed two people. He doesn't say, the penalty for someone who kills me is going to be seven times. No, he says the penalty is going to be 77 times as much. 77-fold. The problem is the Lord doesn't tell him that. That is him making it up. Of course, what's going to happen is he's going to die in the flood. That's what's going to happen. He has construed something from what the Lord told his great-great-great-grandfather back, Cain, and applied it to himself, but God did not approve of that. How do we know? Because the Lord does not intervene in that conversation anywhere. He is not there. You do not find anywhere in the rest of the Bible where this is even brought up, where the Lord intervenes to speak about this. Lamech has made it up. He's a murderer, and he's going to die in the flood because of it. 25 says, and Adam had relations with his wife. Okay, so we're done with Lamech. We're done with Cain's line. And here in verse 25 of chapter 4, the Lord decides to give us a little preview of the first three boys, the first three, okay? And Adam had relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to a son and named him Seth and said, God has appointed me another offspring in place of Abel, for Cain killed him. Interesting. The word Seth means to pay or payback or replacement. That's what the word means. So Eve thinks that this Seth has replaced Abel. Well, Seth does replace Abel because it is through Seth that we're going to go down to Noah, that we're going to go down to Abraham, that we're going to go down to Jesus. It's through that line, not Cain's, Abel didn't have kids, that we're going to go all the way down to Jesus. Through all the kings and all of that are going to go through this line. And so Seth is born. Seth has a son. Verse 26. And to Seth, to him also was born, a son was born, and they called his name Enosh. Okay. Listen. Seth took his sister as a wife. They have a child. His name is Enosh. Enosh means mortally depraved. By the time that Enosh is born, the world is mortally depraved. Really terrible. You say, okay, well, how far along, how can that be? All right. We do not know, and I'm kind of skipping ahead here because we're fixing to get into this again, but I want to explain it now. We do not know how old Adam was when Cain was born. We do not know that. But we know that Cain grew to an age where he could have a wife, and he made the offering, and he was a farmer, and Abel was a herder, had cows and stuff like that, or whatever he brought as an offering. Okay, he went and killed things to bring as an offering. We don't know when Cain and Abel were born. They were twins. But we do know when Seth was born. Seth was born after the death of Abel. Seth was born when Adam was 130 years old. See that? Okay, this is, by the way, you don't need to make a drawing of this because you have it on the very back of your lesson. It's also there too. Adam is 130 years old when he has Seth. We're going to get that in Genesis chapter 5, which is where we're headed. Enosh is born when Seth is 105 years old, in the year 234. Now, the way I've got this lined out, this is not B.C. A.D., okay? In fact, not until 1582. In 1582, Pope Gregory is the one who turned us around and put this A.D.B.C. thing in place, all right? So anything around the death of Herod and before was called B.C., and anything at the death of Herod and afterwards is called A.D., up until 1582, all calendars were still year 1, year 2, year 3, year 4. Adam was created in year 1. In year 130, he had Seth. In 234, Enosh was born. In 322, Kenan was born. In 392, Mahalalel was born. In 450, and these are just in order all the way down to 1650 when the flood occurred. just 1 year consecutive after the other. That's how everything was recorded, even with the Julian calendar. That's how everything was recorded. Enosh is born in 234. Cain is already old enough when he kills Abel to have kids. So we have kids, we have Enoch, we have Irad. We move on down. They don't know how far we're moving down, but look here. There's 234 years that by the time of Enosh, the whole world is evil, basically, over in this other part where Cain's family is living. And Adam and Eve are also having other sons and daughters, and they're evil. They're not part of this good line. So the world has turned depraved. Remember, Hebrew names mean something. They are telling us a story. Going on down, verse 26b says, Then men began to call upon the name of the Lord. When Enosh was born, during his life, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Now, words have changed their definitions. We think about calling upon the name of the Lord in worship to praise for Him. The word here actually means to proclaim the name of the Lord. They are becoming witnesses to the rest of the depraved world about what God has done. That's what they're doing. They're proclaiming the name of the Lord to all those who are rejecting. Folks, creation has happened in the last 300 years, basically, and people are not even being true and honest to God. Can you believe how depraved that is? Looking on in Genesis chapter 5, we pick up here, and this is where it gets kind of convoluted. So I want to rush through this pretty quick. And then we'll look at some interesting facts. So hang on with me here. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1, the book of the generations of Adam. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. That's talking about Adam there, that man. He made them male and female, and he blessed them and named them man. In other words, mankind or humanity, in the day when they were created. So Genesis chapter 1 through 4 is important because it tells us about creation. It tells us about the fall. It tells us about the death of Abel. It tells us about the generation of Cain, and it tells us about the first generation, three generations of Seth. Chapter 5 is then going to give us a detail so we know the years and the days, the birth dates, and that type of stuff. Genesis chapter 2 gave Adam the authority. The Lord gave Adam the authority to name all the animals, including Eve. Oh, but the Lord, according to this passage, names Adam and Eve, who when the two join together become one, and all the descendants as they've come are all called mankind or man. God names that. So as we get to chapter 5, this is where there's a jolt in the story, the flow changes, and we have to just kind of get through it as quickly as possible. And here we go. What's the purpose of the book of Genesis? Chapter 5. I've got the purposes here. What's the purpose? We're on page 56 of your notes. You can read the rest later. All these genealogies we're fixing to read in chapter 5 have the same formula to them, but every once in a while there's a little added extra important thing. First, it is the Lord's detailed record of the generations that lived from creation to the flood, just like he did Cain. He's got the record. Second, it's the Lord's record of the number of years that transpired between the creation and the flood in order for all generations to know the age of the earth and the timing of the major events. So before the end of the book of Genesis, we're going to have the whole picture all the way down to Joseph and his brothers in Egypt. We're going to get that. So verse 3 picks up, and just hang on. Here we go. When Adam lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, named him Seth. Seth means there, of course, means to pay or pay back, or another word that would mean something like that. It says, then the days of Adam after he became the father of Seth were 800 years, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. Got it up there on the board. That's what you've got here. Adam's created on day one. He lived 930 years. At 130, he gave birth, or they gave birth to Seth. Okay? Verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years. Seth, at age 105, you see that there, he became the father of Enosh. Then Seth lived 807 years after he became the father of Enosh, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. 912. Okay, now let's get through this pretty quick. By the way, the word Seth means fixed. Payback fixed, okay? Enosh, verse 9. And Enosh lived 90 years, and he became the father of Kenan. Then Enosh lived 815 years, and after he became the father of Kenan, guess what? Along the way, he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. And Kenan lived 70 years, and he became the father of Mahalalel. And then Kenan lived 840 years after he became the father of Mahalalel, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Kenan were 910 years, and he died. By the way, Kenan means buyer or owner. Now, Mahalalel lived 65 years, and he became the father of Jared. And Mahalalel lived 830 years after he became the father of Jared, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Mahalalel means praise of God. Nothing else is really known about him, but his name tells us something. If Enoch's name meant, Enosh's name meant mortal despair, Kenan's name says that they are the owners of that mortal despair. Mahalalel's name means that praise of God is coming. Wonder what's going to happen with Jared, who's next. And Jared lived 162 years and became the father of Enoch. And Jared lived 800 years after he became the father of Enoch, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Jared means a ruling is coming down, or a judgment is coming down. Okay, we've got great despair. We've got a generation that owns that despair. We've got a generation come along and said, hey, praise of God is coming. Next generation says a ruling, a judgment is coming. Looks pretty good to me. I like it so far. Then we come to Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years and became the father of Methuselah. Then Enoch walked with God 300 years after he became the father of Methuselah. And he had other sons and daughters besides Methuselah. So all the days of Enoch were 365. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. You notice it doesn't say he died? Author of Hebrews tells us this. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By the way, remember the word Enoch means dedicated? Enoch comes along, he's dedicated. He's the shortest. He lives about one-third of the time of the rest of the guys. Here he's right here. Jared's 162, he lives 360. Enoch lives 365 days, and he's gone in the year 982 after the creation of Adam. Next. And Methuselah lived 187 years and became the father of Lamech. Then Methuselah lived 782 years, and he became the father of Lamech, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. By the way, Methuselah means he has sent his death. Methuselah, just so you'll know, is going to die the year the flood occurs. His name says he has sent his death. And Lamech lived 182 years and became the father of a son. Now he called his name Noah, saying, "This one shall give us rest from our work and from the toil of our hands arising from the ground which the Lord has cursed." How did Lamech know that? What kind of rest is Noah? We know the story of Noah. He builds an ark. The animals go on it. They get on the boat. The Lord shuts the doors. The rain starts to fall. Guess what's going to happen to everybody else on earth? Yeah. It's a swimming experience there. Then Lamech lived 559 years after he became the father of Noah, and he had other sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. He dies 6 years before the flood, by the way. Hebrews says this about Noah. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared the ark. Can you imagine? Build an ark. Build an ark, Noah. Do what? It's going to rain. What's rain? It doesn't matter. Build an ark. Okay. I'm trying to see if there's anybody in this room that would go build an ark that was by yourself with tools made of iron and bronze that have just basically been invented, that's the size of our children's building over about 120 years of time. Took 120 years. Yeah. I'm wondering how long. I wonder which one of y'all would have gone and done that. Now, basically, it took 100 years. Which one of y'all would have gone and done that? Which one? Verse 32. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Actually, I'm going to tell you this quick. The notes are here. Japheth is the older, and he is actually born the year Noah becomes 500. In 1547, after the creation of Adam, the year 1547, Japheth is born. 2 years later, in 1549, Shem is born. Shem is the middle child. We do not know how old Ham is, but we know this from other scriptures. And I've got some of those scriptures listed here, and they will be more when we get to the flood at that point in time. All right, so that leads us to our back page, and we're almost done for the day. But we've got some important things that I want to show you. We took that information that God gives us, Lord has given us, and we find some very interesting things. Let's just take the first one. The entire time from creation to the flood transpires during the lives of two men, Adam and Methuselah. Look here. We just picked two men. Here's Adam. Here's Methuselah. There's the flood. Methuselah is 242 years old when Adam dies. And they're living in the same community. They know each other. Methuselah knows that Adam does not have a belly button, and he does. Did you catch it? Okay. Do you catch the importance of this? How can Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah be assured that Adam was created and the story of creation? Grandpa knew him. Grandpa knew Adam. Number two, look here. Methuselah and Lamech. Lamech is the father of Noah. Knew every man in the list from Adam to Shem. Lamech and Methuselah knew everybody all the way back to Adam. You see it? They knew them all. Why? Lamech is right here. He is born in 867. Adam's not going to die till 930. Somebody add that up for me. That's what, he's 53 years old when Adam dies? Okay, you follow me that? Well, not only does Methuselah and Lamech know everybody back this way, but they know everybody this way. Shem, they know each other. These are 60-year-old men that are sons of Noah and older that are going to get on the boat whenever Lamech died. They know each other. They're almost 100 where they are. They're almost 100. These are men. These are real years. These two men know everybody from here to here, no doubt. Look here, 3. The sons of Noah, Shem and Ham and Japheth, were really, I need to say, about 100 years old when the flood occurred. They knew Methuselah, they knew Lamech, and they knew Noah. Noah, Lamech, and Methuselah, because that's where they are. They know about their testimonies. 4, Noah knew every man in the list from Enosh to Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Enosh, right there. Grandson of Adam. Noah knew him all the way through to his kids. There's pretty solid testimony being laid out here in there. Okay, next. Enoch, who only lived 360 years, knew every man from Adam to Lamech. Enoch, 365 years. It's wrong on your paper. He lived 365 years. That's the one I've been looking at. I kept thinking in my other lesson, my other class, that's a mistake, and it's right here. It's 365. Enoch knew Methuselah and Lamech and everybody back to Adam. Next, what does this chapter prove to us? This chapter proves to us that the list from Seth to Lamech, the father of Noah, they all knew Adam personally. Lamech knew that Adam did not have a belly button. Little comic relief there for you to understand. He knew that Adam personally. He knew him. Here's the line of Seth. Now, we could take the line of Cain and we could superimpose it underneath here with the flood ending, and all of this is going on together. All of these people, with all their brothers and sisters, know all of these people with all of their brothers and sisters. Because there's basically two villages that are going on. The village of Adam and the village of Cain. And we'll pick up with that next week when we've got a problem. When the sons of some of these men begin marrying the daughters of some of these men. Lord Jesus, we love you and we thank you for this time to study your word. In your name, amen and amen.